Welcome to People to People, soon to be Basic Gospel. We're here every day at this time to bring the Basic Gospel into your life. It's relevant, it's personal, and it's essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose, of course, each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. Right now, it's time for your phone calls. That's why we are here every day to address your calls and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news. And our question today really relates to Father's Day. You know, Father's Day is this Sunday, and we certainly give a shout-out to all the fathers out there who have made a difference in the lives of their kids. And you know, there's probably some guys out there saying, I wish I could be a better father. Well, the way to become a better father is to learn about God the Father. And it's interesting, we all have ideas about God. You know, growing up, we came to some conclusions as to what God was like. And it's interesting when you ask people, what did you think God was like? All the answers that come back. So we want to hear from you on that particular issue today. What did you think God was like? Did you think he was mad at you, a big ogre in the sky? What were your thoughts about God? And how did those thoughts change once you came to know Christ? Jesus Christ is alive, and one of his purposes is to make the Father known to us. And that's what he does. And when he does, we see that God the Father is so different than what we thought about him as we were growing up, or even just recently. So
I remember when I was a kid, it was taboo to go to a movie on Sunday or to go fishing on Sunday, and I thought God was the one that was keeping me from having fun. That was my image of God.
And that's huge to a kid, isn't it?
Yeah, it was to me.
Why would God want to rob me of fun? And I think that's a big deal. Richard, what was some of your thoughts about God?
Oh, pretty much he was the big hammer in the sky. If you didn't behave, if you weren't perfect. And God knows I tried to be perfect and failed. I just lived in constant fear.
Yeah. No fun, is it?
No, not at all.
I mean, having to mind your P's and Q's, and when you get to the end of the day, you look back over the day, and you know you haven't lived up to all of them. You know, you did pretty good, and you think, well, maybe God's going to be okay with the fact that I did pretty good today. You know, maybe tomorrow I'll try a little harder.
Yeah, but I used a blanket prayer. You know, all that stuff I forgot. Please forgive it.
That's a good one.
But you still just lived, walking on eggshells.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't have a relationship with a God like that.
No, absolutely not. So, but when we come to Christ, we see something completely different about God. We see that he actually loves us. And one of the things that came to me years and years ago when I started really learning that God loves me, and not only that, he likes me. You know, I thought, you know, if God had this big refrigerator up in the sky, my picture would be on it, you know, and he would point it out, say, hey, that's my son, you know, or if, you know, he carries pictures in his wallet, I'd be one of those pictures. Or if he had tickets to a baseball game, you know, he'd call me up because he actually liked me and wanted to be around me and wanted to relate to me and be involved with me. And that never was part of my understanding growing up. That just came as I really got to know Christ Jesus personally and recognize the love that he has for me. So what was your idea of God? And how has that changed since coming to know Christ? 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Let's talk about it on today's edition of People to People. Well, let's start out in Modesto, California, and talk with Ron, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron. How you doing, Bob?
Doing fine,
Bob,
Ron.
And Bob, and is Richard sitting there, too?
He is.
Live
he
and
is. All right. I just love hearing you guys. I mean, I've been involved with the ministry since 1992, and I went to Mount Hermon with Dick and Doris Caldwell. I don't know if that rings a bell with you.
Absolutely.
Sure. You bet.
But they were just so... Dick and Doris Caldwell were just wonderful people, and I look at them as my spiritual parents, because when I got a hold of this grace message, it just overwhelmed me, and I had misconceptions about God. I thought he was mad about me. But what I was really calling about, I tried to get in touch with you guys yesterday, but the battery on the phone died, and I was in line to get to talk with you about this issue about my son, 19 years old. He comes out and he tells mom and dad that he's gay. And but this whole gospel message that I've heard from people to people, it made me just calm down and take a deep breath. And I said, Lord, I got to respond to this the way you want me to respond to it. And it just guided me to get counseling and everything like that. And I got to give people to people the credit for it all.
Well, that's wonderful.
The Lord's used you guys to just put us where we need to be. But, you know, we're still having trouble, and I'd like for you guys to pray, and I'd just like your advice on it. I ordered that basic gospel stuff because I feel like my boy's lost his identity in Christ, and that's where my focus is going to be at because, you know, homosexuality is an inappropriate activity, but they'll latch on an identity to it, and I just got to hammer on his identity of who he is as a child of God. So I'd just like to hear your comments, and I'll stay on the line just to listen to you.
Well, Ron, I think you have a solid foundation. You're standing upon the gospel message, the grace of God. I think you recognize the issue for what it is. This might be an opportunity for you really to talk to your son about his understanding of the gospel. Does he truly see it as a message that can take him from death to life, that his real problem isn't a sexual identity, his real problem that he's separated from God and
he needs life. I mean, as he was growing up, I thought I was sharing all this stuff with him, but apparently he's not got it. And in your opinion, do you think this basic gospel CD that I ordered will actually help him? Because he's open.
Most definitely, Ron. It can help him. Here's the issue that I think needs to be addressed at some point.
The okay, I flesh, got my ink pen. I got my ink pen right here. I'm going to write it down.
Ron, our flesh, once it's been tempted and satisfied in a certain way, it's always going to demand to be satisfied in that way going forward.
It's going to gravitate toward
right. So the
stuff
so the
from what I'm hearing from you.
So the flesh is the voice that your son is hearing, and that voice is saying you're homosexual because the flesh has been satisfied in that particular way.
Right, right.
So he's buying into what his flesh is telling him.
He's buying into the lies of the world.
Right. And so at some point he needs to come back and say, well, what does God have to say? Because regardless of what the flesh says, I want to latch on to what the Word of God has to say about me.
It's like I said, if it wasn't for people to people proclaiming the truth, I don't think I'd have been responding the way I'm responding, which is coolness and calmness and letting the Lord Jesus speak in and through me. That's what I had to do, because I'm telling you what, right now, part of my flesh just wanted to scream and go come unglued, but, you know, just listening to Bob George all these years,
well,
I got a calmness and a peace about the whole thing.
Yeah, well, that's the Spirit of God living in you, and a recognition of the love of God. So you see beyond the admission, what your son has said, and you're looking into his heart and saying, how can I be a help to him? How can I let him know, first and foremost, that I love him, that I care for him, that we can talk about this? And second, how can I help him by bringing the gospel message to him in such a way that makes sense? Well,
but you see, I mean, another thing, too, that you guys have always hammered on is the unconditional love of God. If you understand how much God loves you, and he's working in and through you, you're reaching out to all these people, even though they're as mean as a hornet, but you can reach out to them in love, and it speaks to them.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they're
right.
Kind of looking at you like you're crazy when you respond that way.
Yeah. Well, Ron, our hearts are there with you. Our prayers are there with you. And whatever we can do to help in that process, please let us know. And we sure appreciate your call today.
Well, thank you, sir.
Okay. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Rentha, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Rentha.
Hi. I'm reading the scripture in Revelation 22, verse 12. He said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work." And he said, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end," etc. He said, "Blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates into the city. But thou art dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers." And he goes on to list the types of people that's not going to be in the kingdom here. So
well,
the whoremongers, adulterers.
The reason they're not going to be in the kingdom is not because they do all those things, Rentha. They're not going to be in the kingdom because they rejected Christ Jesus. That's the big issue. All sin is the sins that we do. All of those sins are a byproduct of a state of unbelief. The thing that God wants to correct in us is to move us from unbelief to belief in Christ. So adulterers and all of those that he's saying, that's an identity that stems from a rejection of Christ Jesus. That is the issue. Those who are going to be lost forever are the ones who have rejected Christ, Rentha. That's the deal. Well, let me read you one passage. It says, "This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." That's how we overcome the world. That's how our identities change. That's how we are guaranteed eternal salvation, through faith in Jesus Christ. And when faith is exercised, then God begins the transformation process in us. We've had a phrase, Richard, first life, then change.
Yes.
So many of us try to look at Christianity as self-improvement, that we first have to change in order to earn or gain God's love. But that's not the process, is it?
No, not at all. And in fact, the only way to change, and Rentha, please understand, we're not justifying bad behavior here. The only way to stop doing bad behavior is to be transformed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. So he teaches you how to think differently, how to choose more wisely, and how to reject the demands of the flesh. Only security gives you that. If you're not secure in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be reacting in fear. Fear always has to do with punishment, and you will never succeed. You'll just be convinced that you're lost. But if you know you have security, that Holy Spirit, the down payment, the deposit guaranteeing salvation, then you have a chance to listen to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm tired of behaving this way. I don't want to be an idolater anymore. I don't want to be sexually immoral anymore. Teach me how not to be." And that's where the victory comes from.
Yes, indeed. Well, Rentha, we sure appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this CD, The Basic Gospel Journey. I want you to listen to it and then call us back, if you will, and we'll talk about this even more. But this is such an important issue.
Yes.
You know, through the years, assurance of salvation has been the number one ask about issue on the program. It is something that people are dealing with, struggling with. They have doubts, they have concerns, and it all goes back to the most simplest of truths, the fact that God loves us. If you're doubting salvation, what you're really asking is this: does God truly love me? If you're wondering about forgiveness, what you're really wondering is, does God love me? And the answer in the gospel is a resounding yes. Yes, he does. So much so that he brings assurance and security to our hearts. Well, let's go down to or out to Denver, Colorado, and talk to Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I know I've been trying to call, wanting to call you for a number of times. My battery either be very, very low or whatever. But we all live in sin. And just like Joseph, he turns it into good. And so depending on who I'm talking to, one person say, hey, it's the biggest sin in the world, and the other one say, hey, it's not so bad. Now, that's my opinion. That's mankind's thinking. I know for a fact for me that I'm forgiving. I do have eternal life. I wish for death every day, but at the same time, I'd love to be 111 years old. I'm wondering, am I on the wrong page? Because I get down quite a bit, but then I remember God does love me, and whatever I'm struggling with, it'll all come out in the wash, and people will kind of see that, I guess. You have any advice for me?
Well, Kenny, it gets down to this question: how do we live the Christian life? We're saved by grace through faith, and we actually live the Christian life in the exact same way, by grace through faith. As Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So a lot of times when we're struggling, it's because we're trying to live the Christian life through human effort. And I think what God's Spirit wants to do in each and every one of us is to bring us back to that point where we say, you know, we can't do it through human effort. We have to rely on Christ who's alive living in us. So, Lord, teach me how to walk by faith in the risen Christ. And when he does, those struggles seem to lessen, and we actually see the fruit of God's Spirit being lived out in us, fruit such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of those things are characteristic of the life of Christ, and as we abide in the life of Christ, we'll see those characteristics in us and being expressed to others. So sometimes it gets down to a point, how am I choosing to live the Christian life? Is it through human effort? Is it through obedience to a set of rules and regulations? Or is it by faith in the risen Christ? Because the mark of a Christian is faith in the risen Christ.
Now, will all of those, that leads me to a very important question. Will they all manifest to perfection or imperfection still there, at which
well,
case,
Kenny, we still live in a body of flesh. I mean, we still are subject to temptation and those sort of things. That's why Paul wrote in that particular chapter, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are going to be with you until you die, but you don't have to give in to those desires, and the only way not to is by giving in to the desires of the Spirit. As you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. As you walk in the Spirit, you will be able to see the fruit of the Spirit being expressed through you. That's the good news, isn't it?
Well, yes, that's the good news. But like, I go back to David and I go back to Abraham, that even though they had the fallacies of humankind, they still did those things, like the many, many wives that David had, and Saul, who in the beginning was God's chosen one.
Yeah, we see them warts and all, don't we? And that's the way that's the way our lives are. I mean, we needed a Savior. That's why God sent Jesus. If we could perfect ourselves without Christ, he wouldn't have had to come. He wouldn't have had to suffer like he did, but we needed a Savior. And we not only needed a Savior for conversion, but we need a Savior for day-to-day living. Jesus Christ saves us from those temptations. Jesus Christ teaches us to say no and empowers us to live righteous lives in this world of darkness that we live in today. Well, Kenny, let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of that Basic Gospel Journey. Sure appreciate your call, my friend.
And we'll have more information on ordering your copy as we conclude the program in just a few moments.
Yes, indeed. Let's go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. I was calling with how I saw God before I was saved. And I was not raised in a Christian household, and so God wasn't discussed much. I didn't really have much of an opinion about God one way or the other until I became an adult. And my thoughts about God came to my mind after suffering the trauma of a murder in my family. And, of course, that brought about feelings of anger and frustration and helplessness. And I have a rather different take than most people when it came to thinking about God, because I would hear a pastor or a preacher speaking about salvation, that no matter what horrible sin that you've committed, God will forgive you and allow you into heaven. And my feelings that resulted were that if that's true, if God would let somebody like the person who murdered my family member into heaven, then I would rather go to hell. And I meant it. It wasn't until I was saved that God showed me that I was just as much a sinner as anyone else, including the man who's done this dastardly deed. And so my point is, not everyone may respond to the message of grace. They may have the same feelings that I had provoked by whatever circumstances in their life.
Yeah. Well, William, that's excellent insight. Grace is meaningless to us if we don't understand our real condition apart from Christ. If we think we're basically good, why would we need the grace of God? But when we come to the point like you did and see yourself as a sinner, see yourself as dead spiritually, see yourself as separated from God, then you realize your need and that grace becomes precious in your sight. You know, there's an interesting passage, and it's repeated a couple of times in the Word of God. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And a lot of times we hear the message of grace through a filter of human pride, and it comes out completely different. And it's till that pride gets knocked out of us and we're humbled and come to that point and see ourselves in need of a Savior, it's only then that this grace seems precious to us, and it's only then that our hearts can respond in faith. Well, William, we sure appreciate you weighing in on today's question. Thanks for sharing your insights.
Sure.
And a very quick final question. Warren from San Francisco wanted to know, who are the modern-day Philistines? Either of you guys know, or is it possible to know? Silence.
that's right. I mean, as a people group, they're not, I think we've lost sight of them as far as biblically is concerned. The Gaza Strip and some of those places, they're still enemies of the Jewish people. It's kind of interesting, the term Palestine, mm-hmm. The Romans named the area of Israel that just to tick off the Jews, because it was a modification of Philistine. So we're going to call it a word that you despise more than any.
Yeah.
But in this, throughout history, there's always been a hatred toward the Jewish people.
Yes,
and those of us who are in Christ, that's changed in us, because now we have a love for the Jewish people because we know the story.
Yes, absolutely. Well, everyone is on a journey. Do you know where your journey will take you? We invite you to take a journey to life and freedom, a journey that begins and ends with Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, the truth in this message will give you the clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's a CD message we call The Basic Gospel Journey, and you can begin yours by requesting your copy today. All you need to do is go online to realanswers.net, click the prominent link right on the homepage. Again, at realanswers.net, or you can call and speak with Billy at 1-800-727-2828 to order your copy. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.